Half a century ago, Edmund Hillary, a beekeeper from New Zealand, and Tenzing Norgay, a Sherpa from Nepal, reached the top of Mount Everest. To mark next month's anniversary of that epic ascent, their sons returned to Everest to understand what it must have been like for the two men who did it first. For National Geographic Radio Expeditions, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
Over 50 million years ago, Everest was born. 50 years ago, two men reached its summit. That blink of time representing man's attempt to reach the highest spot on Earth is best measured not by years, but by the stories of those who've tried, stories that are equal parts triumph and tragedy. 1,200 people have successfully climbed Everest. Nearly 200 have died trying.
Jomling, this is South Col. Do you copy?
Peter Hillary calls Jomling Norgay at base camp. 50 years after their fathers proved to the world Everest could be climbed, Hillary and Jomling, along with Brent Bishop, the son of one of the first Americans to summit, have come together to retrace their father's footsteps. The plan is to ascend two different routes and make a film for National Geographic. But there's nothing certain about Everest. In late May, severe weather thwarts the first attempt.
Hi, Dad. We've really struck a patch of strong winds, and it looks like we're going to be forced down off the mountain. I don't think we're going to get up at this time, Dad.
The enormity of what Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay did that bright blue day 50 years ago is nearly impossible, even for the most seasoned climber, to imagine. There were no fixed ropes and aluminum ladders, no polar fleece, no GPS. Quite simply, two men, tied together, hacked steps in the ice and climbed to over 29,000 feet. Sir Edmund Hillary, now 83, recalls the climb.
You know, we had this psychological barrier that we really didn't know whether it was humanly possible for a human being to set foot on top of Everest, even using oxygen. All the physiologists had warned us that it might be impossible. So my feeling was that we were going to give it everything we had, and if everything went well, maybe we'd get to the top.
First attempted in 1921 by the British, Everest had spurned 10 major expeditions. In 1952, Raymond Lambert and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay pioneered a route up the steep Lhotse face, reaching the South Col 28,000 feet up on the southeast ridge. It proved to be the easiest way to the summit, and armed with that knowledge, Tenzing was in great demand. A year later, the British put together a massive expedition, but only two climbers were sent to the summit. The first pair, both British, turned back 330 feet short of the top, low on oxygen. Then Sir John Hunt, the expedition leader, who'd always wanted to include a Sherpa on the summit team, chose Hillary and Tenzing. Tenzing's son Jomling believes what happened was preordained.
Well, I certainly believe that it was their destiny to climb this mountain, because there had been so many attempts made in the past. My father himself had tried to climb this mountain 6 times before. And I believe very much that my father and Hillary were the people who were meant to be on top of this mountain on that particular day.
At 11:30 a.m., they reached the highest point on Earth. Neither man had any idea how much it would change their lives. A year and 100 public appearances later, both men had become fatigued with the notoriety. In this rare recording from a press conference at the National Geographic Society a year after the climb, Hillary is asked yet again to describe the most dangerous moment.
I think it's impossible, really, to do that. It reminds me a bit of what happened with us in Boston when we were giving a lecture there. A little boy came along into the waiting room, and he said, "Oh, you're the chaps that climbed Everest." We said, "Yes." And he said, "Did you have anyone killed?" And we said, "No." And, "Nobody hurt at all?" "No." "Didn't you have any adventures?"
Hillary and Tenzing spent a total of 15 minutes on the summit. They thought once they'd climbed it, it was unlikely anyone would ever make a similar attempt. They couldn't have been more wrong. Last year alone, 500 climbers set out to summit, and there have been any number of superlatives. First woman, first without oxygen, first solo, youngest, oldest, blind, and the first descent on skis, snowboard, and paraglider. But seeing it now through his father's eyes, Peter Hillary says it's impossible to make comparisons.
We came to the Hillary Step, which Dad and Tenzing climbed 50 years ago. You know, this 40-foot, very steep rock and ice step just before you reach the summit. And you can imagine their anxiety. Can we do it? Do we have the skills to get up this thing? Well, we came along there, and of course, a band of about three or four of our strongest Sherpas had already gone up, pulled the fixed rope that was already there out of the frozen snow. You're on a rope. It's a totally different situation.
Sir Edmund agrees.
But to me, that was the exciting part of it. To have had ropes there and so on would have spoiled the whole thing, really. We had to deal with the problems as they arose, tackle them and overcome them, hopefully, and get up the step and duly reach the summit.
Peter Hillary calls what his father did climbing into the unknown. But there are still unknowns, as new equipment brings more people and more ambition to the mountain. From the film shot on the day Peter attempted the summit, it's clear the route is dangerously crowded. Climbers are precariously stacked up on the ridge. The expedition leader is alarmed by the tension on the rope.
Tell people to drop down. They're too tight. You guys gotta stagger your people.
It's just this kind of pressure that Jamling, who believes Everest is spiritual, finds troubling.
We believe thoroughly that you have to, you know, climb this mountain like a child crawling up to its mother's lap. You don't conquer Everest. And we believe that climbing with disrespect to the mountain, the people, the environment, can lead into trouble. And that's sort of what has happened in the past.
Jamling was on Everest in 1996, its deadliest year yet. 15 people died, 8 in a single storm. Jamling coordinates this expedition on the radio from base camp. He promised he would never attempt Everest again. 12 of his relatives have reached the top, but others have perished in the pursuit. For many in Nepal, the harsh, dangerous life of a Sherpa is still the only choice, and that life begins at a young age.
When I got off the mountain, I made a vow to give back to the community, just like my father had done, you know, helping the Sherpas in the Darjeeling area, and like Hillary's father and Hillary himself has now.
Their legacy is dozens of schools, hospitals, and medical clinics, and a trust that continues to assist the locals in the Everest region. Their gift to the Sherpas is as enduring as their remarkable climb. When Hillary and Tenzing shook hands and embraced on that snowy precipice 5.5 miles in the sky, they had no witnesses, no one to tell but each other.
Base camp. This is Everest summit, over.
50 years later, when Peter Hillary reached the summit, he had a film crew in tow and was able to make a phone call to his father in New Zealand. A moment from the top of Everest that will soon be televised worldwide.
Hello?
Dad, it's Peter. We're on the summit. Can you hear us?
On the day Peter summited, 78 other climbers topped out as well. Much has changed in 50 years. Even the mountain has changed. It's now 7 feet higher due to the Earth's shifting plates. But one thing will never change. A beekeeper from New Zealand and a Sherpa from Nepal were the first to reach the top of the tallest mountain on Earth.
I can hardly believe it. I'll try not just to cry the whole time. Huh?
For Radio Expeditions, I'm Elizabeth Arnold.
Surviving Everest is broadcast this Sunday on the National Geographic Channel. Extended interviews and photographs are at npr.org.